welcome to 23, the podcast for young, sharp-tongued and fucking fabulous women who love to talk shit.
From the overthinkers and oversharers to the fearful and the fearless, from friendships to social injustice to Bella's toy box, we got you covered.
You'll be joined by me, Bella Rutherford, an aspiring public relations and marketing coordinator.
And me, Kelsey Menzies, an aspiring producer and journalist. Okay, so just before we get started, the views discussed in this podcast are exclusively our own. We are not experts and we are certainly not claiming to be. We wanted a space to discuss, critique and analyze the good, the bad and all the shit in between that comes along with being in your 20s. So enter podcast 23. We are learning as we go and we are sure to make mistakes, but we're super excited to give this a crack and just see what happens. Okay, hi Belle, how are you?
Hey Kels, what's going on?
What have you been up to?
We're excited to be here.
Yeah, very excited.
Very keen to share a little bit about ourselves. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, okay, sure. So my name is Kelsey, obviously. I am in a long-term relationship. I've been with my partner for nearly 4 years now, which is
impressive
but quite insane for somebody that never thought they'd be in a serious relationship at this age. I go to uni. I'm in my last semester doing producing and journalism. I love pickles.
Loves pickles.
Are my ride or die.
The queen of pickles.
I'm honestly thinking, like, are there any health implications to eating too many pickles? Because I feel like it's not a healthy habit.
We're just going to vote no on that now. Just a collective no.
Definitely not good for your teeth. At least, you know, at least. And my nickname's Curly because, look, we're not like the most creative people in the world.
And or original, but we try.
Yeah. I have curly hair. My nickname's Curly. We're 23. We have a podcast called 23.
A classic high school nickname that just stuck.
Yeah, it stuck. Well, it was actually used to bully me, but I reclaimed that shit and was like, nah, this is my name now.
Switch the narrative. And now we love it.
What about you, Belle?
So I am single and ready to mingle.
Fucking mingle.
And excited about it. I am in my second last trimester at uni currently doing a Bachelor of Public Relations and Advertising.
Nice.
Kind of overlaps with yours a little bit. We're meeting in a happy medium.
Yeah.
I absolutely love a taco.
Oh, yeah.
Hardcore love a taco.
And also has a tattoo to prove it.
Yes. Yes, I got a tattoo of a taco for my 23rd birthday for my present to myself. And yes, it was the best decision I have ever made in my life.
I'm like sad that I never got, maybe I should get a pickle tattooed on.
What a great idea.
Honestly, but I feel like people would be like, why do you have a dick tattoo?
No, just put an arrow and write pickle next to the tattoo.
Yeah.
I have been learning Italian for a few years now and still am yet to be able to speak fluently, but I'm
not fluently,
getting there.
But you're pretty good. Like, you got us through Italy quite well.
I can
we did really only say where's pasta and why. But.
I can order a pasta, I can order a gelato, and I can order a coffee. And I tell you what, I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
Get me to the beach and get me a gelato and I'm all good. And I also have a hardcore obsession with Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls, yeah. I never got into Gilmore Girls. I was more of like a Marvel Avengers.
I feel like everyone has their jam.
Yeah.
And it's like just nice that.
I do like shit shows. Like. No.
Excuse you.
I retract my statement. No, Gilmore Girls is not shit by any standard. But, like, I mean that more as a loving sentiment towards, objectively cookie-cutter shows.
Absolutely.
It's like reality TV. We made this podcast because we want a space where we can, you know, talk about all the shit going on in our lives. And
I think it's having a channel or a platform in which we can unpack issues that we deal with every day and we have dealt with being young women growing up. And allowing the open two-way communication to occur, which you only ever really get in your friend group and only if you have a good friend group who likes to unpack issues that you deal with growing up. And, you know, we've noticed that within our group of friends, everybody does really like understanding, you know, the trials and tribulations that come along with being in your late teens, early 20s. And we just wanted to translate that into a podcast so we get to talk about it even more.
Yeah, document our shenanigans.
I think it's also about kind of destigmatizing some of the things that were stigmatized when we were growing up. some of the topics that people don't like to talk about, some of the things that might be a bit uncomfortable, just allowing, you know, people just to room, understand them yeah. more, and for us unpacking them from our personal yeah. context, our personal experience, what we've gone through, and, you know, hoping that some other people have gone through something similar and they might find a little bit of insight or a bit of clarity into why those things occur.
Solace.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A bit of solace.
Yeah.
In a very complex
time. Like complex we're never going to be this age again. I hated when people would say that to me as a, you know, a tween.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, I just want to be an adult. Fuck off with your bullshit about staying a teen. As I'm getting older, I realize like the weight of a statement like that, because this is the time when we're experimenting. We get to try things we never thought we'd try before. Lots of us are trying new relationships, failing at relationships, losing friendships, making great friendships. So many different things, and it's really such a
transformative
age to like
push the boundary a little bit and figure out like what you like, what you don't like, what do you want to do with your life, yeah. what are your career aspirations, what are your relationship aspirations, what are your life aspirations, like what do you want your life to look like,
and who you are. Because I have, this is something that's popped up in my life very, I think I was aware of it when I was on my third uni degree, lol.
And she got there in the end, ladies and gents.
Yeah, got there in the end. But I kind of realized, what is my voice? I feel like my voice is constantly changing. What I believe in and my ethics evolve every single day. And what I believed yesterday isn't what I believe today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still trying to find my voice. And sometimes I feel like a failure for not knowing what that is. I feel really jealous of people that are so strong with their opinions, that know exactly what they stand for and what they want, because I have no idea. I know what I'm passionate about and I know what I believe in sometimes, but it's constantly changing.
I think the thing that we all have to remember, which I have to, just like you, constantly remind myself, is that we as human beings are all works in progress.
Mm.
Perfection does not exist. We're never going to be able to reach it. It's more about understanding who you are currently, learning and evolving with the knowledge and with the resources that you have access to, and knowing that nothing you ever say or do or practice or preach is ever going to be perfect, but it's just like working towards being the best version of yourself that you can be. Yeah. And also staying true to yourself, which is a huge, huge issue. Especially for young women growing up, is there are so many, you know, external forces influencing our lives, influencing who we are, what we look like, what we're allowed to say, what we're not allowed to say, social expectations, you know, the gender roles that we're meant to fit into. We want to shatter that. There is no right way to go about your life. As long as you're staying true to yourself, as long as you're being authentic and honest,
yeah.
you're doing a good job, and that's all you can be happy with, and that's all you can yeah. praise yourself for.
On that note, I have prepared a list of all the shitty things about being in your 20s, or being 23 specifically. But also this relates to, I feel like, lots of people in their 20s. I feel like this relates more to people in their later 20s. So this is very true to me, but you're probably still living with your parents, especially in the economy that we're in as of now. Thanks, Mom.
Coronavirus. Oh,
should I say Grandma for that?
Thanks, Mom, and thanks, Coronavirus.
Another thing is that you will probably find a gray hair. I genetically have lots of gray hair, which sucks.
And just before we sat down to record this yeah. podcast, Kelsey found a gray hair in my head. And by golly, have I never seen her so excited before. Yeah,
I thought I was alone, being the only 23-year-old with gray hair. But I have to like put this out there. It is so normal for people to have gray hair.
Hallelujah.
Young. It's so normal. I see people all the time with gray hair and I think, hell fucking yeah, I am not alone. I have all these people. Let's embrace the gray. I feel like I'm 50, but also let's embrace the gray.
Let's destigmatize the gray. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, I say that as I'm probably going to be booking hair appointment next week. I love the gray look, but I think I'm going to, like, I just want to try it. I really want to bleach my hair. Anyway, that's for another
Oh my gosh,
day.
Here we go.
Yeah.
That's on record too, so yeah. Let's just make sure we'll hold it to that, ladies and gents.
Yeah, okay. So my next thing is that probably don't relate to the younger generations anymore. People say stuff to me all the time. What is with the abbreviations? Can we just talk about that for a second? Because I have a couple of younger friends from uni.
Okay.
And they use so many abbreviations.
Give me some examples. Oh, let's just...
HMU.
Hit me up. Yeah.
Yeah. Did not. I only found that out like a couple of weeks ago.
Did you just think people were saying come here?
I did. Honestly, I was like, what is this? I don't know. Yeah, so
Kelsey, killing it with the lingo, guys.
I am not on that train. Also, you can't sing Taylor Swift's 22 anymore.
We'll continue to sing and we'll just pretend.
I'm 2 years away from 25, which is terrifying. Yeah, terrifying. nothing else to say on that point. Also, apparently your metabolism starts slowing down.
We'll be all right. We'll just go for more walks.
Yeah, more walks.
Yeah.
Also, hangovers are terrible. They are just, I just imagine what I'm going to feel like when I'm like four, even 30.
I can barely cope with a hangover now. Like it is an all day dedicated situation. And not now. It's meant to get any worse than that because I can't already.
Yeah. And now I spend money on things like peptides and retinol. Barely know what they do, but I feel like if I believe it works, I will not get wrinkles.
I still have no idea what either of those things are. I will learn eventually.
It's okay. I'll teach you. And also, Blink 182 literally said, nobody likes you when you're 23.
I mean, it's a bit discriminatory.
It is, but I understand why, because I feel like half of us are running around going like, we're running around like flailing chickens being like, what the fuck's a tax bracket? I don't know, you know?
Yeah. How do we deal with maybe possibly looking into getting a mortgage? How do I do my accounts? Yeah. How do I get a car loan? How do I, like, there are so many questions.
And also, screw you, education system, for not teaching us any of this. I think it's a deliberate act to keep us like dumb and stupid.
I don't think they know. I don't think anybody knows. And I think there is like a weird 1% of people that are just doing a really good job of pretending that they know.
So, Bella, I know that you would have a positive list to go along with this. So
Hell yeah, I do. Hit me up. So, good things about being 23, because I am very excited about being 23. It has been something that I've been wanting for ages.
This is also half the reason why we made the podcast, was because Bella has been being 23 since I've known her since year 9.
My blind enthusiasm about being 23 is now positively influencing our life. So, Kelsey, you're welcome.
Yeah.
So, a few good things about being 23. Number one, you are already finished or about to finish studying.
Yeah, relatable.
Insert woohoo here. Very excited. So we can work, we can travel, explore, we can try new hobbies, meet new people. The world is literally our oyster. That can be very daunting, but it can also be very exciting at the same time.
It is, but also we can't really explore much. We can explore, I mean, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with coronavirus restrictions? But
we can explore our local areas.
We can. I'm excited about that. I feel like I do not know anywhere near enough about Australian geography, really. Sometimes I wonder how many states there are.
Oh, gosh.
I don't wonder. I know. But it takes me a second.
You just have to do some like classic finger counting to get there. I think we all do, actually. But it's exciting. Yeah, see a little bit more of Australia. You know, try some new hobbies that might be digital hobbies, that might be online dance classes, which I've tried, which I love. Learning a language online. There are so many opportunities to broaden our horizons and evolve at the moment. So trying a few new things would be great.
Also, just side note on that, if you also don't have the motivation or energy to do new things, that's also okay.
That's fine.
Yeah. Some people, like, I know I've sometimes felt very unenthused during this time. And you know what? That's okay. Give yourself a break. Give yourself some time. Reflect on yourself.
Second, you are finally at an age where useless gossip stops bothering us. I mean, this is to a certain extent, I think. However, I think we're kind of at a point now where, you know, the gossip and the bitching and all the unnecessary conversation
somewhat goes away. Well, not goes away.
Somewhat is just easier to ignore. Mm. It doesn't define our lives as much anymore. We're not in school. It's not constant. We have the ability to turn away from it and switch off and detach ourselves if we want to. I also think I'm speaking personally and also in regards to our group of friends, but we're kind of all at a point where we've solidified our friendships to a certain extent where if we do have an issue, we just tend to unpack it and talk about it and get through it. Mm. We're not scared of approaching each other. We're not scared of conflict. We just want to be happy and have good, strong relationships, and that includes open two-way communication. And I think when you're having that communication more, the bitching and the gossip tends to not be as prevalent in those circles. So that's awesome, and I'm really excited to hopefully continue on the trajectory that we're on. So
yeah,
we don't have to deal with that anymore.
Yeah, you can choose who you want to be friends with at this point.
And you can choose about what you want to listen to and what you want to affect you to a certain extent. Obviously, there's a lot of things that you can't really control, and your emotions are definitely one of them, but it is a good opportunity to figure out what makes you feel good and what doesn't, and adjust accordingly and listen to the things that are going to be helpful and fulfill your life and turn away from the things that aren't.
Yeah, good point. That's kind of what we're going to be talking about later. But
absolutely. Number three is you can try something new without it having huge stakes, i.e. podcast 23.
Yeah.
This is when I wish I had an R&B horn, just being like, wah, 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 wah.
I can be the R&B horn.
Okay, cool.
Wah, 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 wah. That is not a good sound.
This is it. Wow, 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 wow. That's perfect. I think I hit the nail on the head with that one.
I disagree.
If anybody wants to hire me as an R&B horn in their lives, holla, because I'm your girl.
Can you just imagine having someone follow you around?
And just like hide behind a bush until you're like, you just click also, up in the air.
Wait, are we talking about the R&B sound or the sound they make at the basketball when they're like...
It's the same wow, thing. Wow, wow, wow. No. The
oh my God, mine just keep getting worse.
The R&B horn, you know when it's like... That you're in a club and they transition between one song to another, and in between they go like, wah, 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 wah.
I feel like
you put your hands up, everybody, put your hands up.
Okay, that's enough. That's enough singing.
Okay, we're not going to sing anymore. You can get wild or you can stay at home.
I love, like going home at 10:30.
Oh
like,
my gosh!
The other night we had dinner at Bella's house and we were all in bed by 10:30, and it was the best thing.
It was a dream.
It was so good.
And on Sunday I woke up and I was the happiest camper in the world because I had a solid 10 hours sleep, drank lots of water and...
Ready to go.
Couldn't be happier.
Yeah.
Couldn't be happier. However, you can also go out and get wild if you feel like it too.
And like we try and like carve out like one day a year to get real.
More like a month, but that's okay. It's just about finding that balance. We no longer feel like we have to go to every single party or have to stay out until 3 a.m. every single time. You can... pick and choose a bit more.
Yeah.
Whatever works for you.
Sometimes I like miss those stages in my life when I was, you know, going out till 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, you kind of, you know that whole thing where it's, you know that song, Wiz Khalifa, it's like, living young ever.
I listened to that the other day and I was like, those are the days.
No, but it's seriously nostalgic.
It is nostalgic because we listened to it in year 9.
And
which is a bit worrying.
I think about those times and I'm like, wow, those were like, we did some fun things, but, and there were learning lessons. Wow. There were life lessons to be learned from, but I mean, I don't miss them all too much, but part of me does. I'm also look back on those times and I think, wow, there are a lot of opportunities that I didn't take either. Like I stopped myself from doing a lot of things, trying new things.
Why is that?
I think what stopped me the most from participating in certain activities, either if it was with like, you know, just friends or classmates, was because I put so much pressure on myself.
Yeah.
I, you know, even things like little things like the way I looked, I wasn't happy with the way I looked, or I, you know, maybe this person said something that made me feel really uncomfortable, or I didn't think that person liked me, so I didn't do something, or I didn't go to something, or and I didn't stick up for the things that I believed in because I think that happens to a lot of people at like a young tween age.
Yeah, growing up, it's definitely something that we deal with. I mean, I'm the same as you. All of the reasons why I didn't follow through on things that I really wanted to do and or put myself out there and or try, give it a go, was because of insecurity. You know, whether that be internal insecurity within myself for not feeling good enough or having imposter syndrome or feeling like it wasn't right or not having the confidence to have a go and or insecurity stemming from my environment, like with people, you know, wanting to make sure I met the expectations of the people around me or, you know, in social context, didn't want to make an ass of myself.
I still live with a lot of that, but I feel like as we get older, look, this is like another thing we're going to talk about in another podcast, but my motto to life is quite literally fuck it.
I was literally about to say, you just have to say fuck it
yeah,
and go for it.
So what we're going to talk about today is who gets invited to the party. Now, social exclusion is something that we deal with all the time. We deal with it growing up. We definitely deal with it in high school. Whether it's with our friends or with our family or whoever, we all know what it feels like to be left out, and we all know what it's like to be the person leaving people out. But with coronavirus restrictions coming into place, and especially since they've been easing, I found it really interesting because you can only have, you know, 4 or 5 people at your house at one point. And when you have a friend group of about 10 people, it can make for some really awkward situations.
Absolutely. And it's making it more obvious than ever before. Like you said, it does make for awkward situations, but also it becomes blaringly obvious who gets included off the bat and who gets included because you're part of the crew. And I think that it's something that we all definitely experience in one form or another, but there's always the social expectations and the social niceties that come along with gatherings or, you know, social situations. Whereas now, because there is a limit and there are restrictions, but those restrictions are easing and it's made it really obvious.
Definitely. I mean, I know we've definitely encountered a few situations whilst coronavirus restrictions have been easing, you know, when some people have been invited to something and other people haven't been invited to something. And I think what really makes it so much more obvious is how we talk about it. When we've had situations come up in our lives, it either wasn't spoken about and people had to find things out behind people's backs, or maybe someone saw something on Instagram that maybe wasn't meant to be there, which made for, yeah, some very awkward times. And I think how we communicate is really important as we grow up, because if we want to keep those good friends in our lives, we really have to learn how to talk about awkward things, because it's not anybody's fault that you can't have everyone over at your house, but it is your fault the way that you communicate that.
Well, it is on you, as in it's your onus to communicate it honestly and transparently. We as, you know, human beings residing in social situations and having friendship groups have a responsibility to be honest with our friends. And sometimes that honesty is really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And we're not saying that honesty is easy by any stretch of the imagination. And also we're not saying that we are perfect and that we've been completely honest and transparent in our social situations in the past.
I know, like, I have definitely been the perpetrator of this before. I have, you know, made plans. You know, like, you know when you have a group chat with your friends and at some point those groups start like
diverging
and then you make side plans with, you know, your closest friends without thinking about some other people. And you know what? Like, we all know what it's like to only want to hang out with a couple of your friends, which is completely fine. But I try not to hide that from people, because I feel like that's when it gets a bit messy.
Usual functioning of social situations and usual functioning of friendships, there's always going to be highs and lows. There's always going to be things that are left out. That's just how friendships function. However, with the COVID restrictions, we've just seen, and I've seen this not just in our friendship group, but across lots of different friendship groups, where certain people have been, you know, chosen or allocated to certain group situations and other people haven't been able to. And it's more just saying like, hey, this is going to happen and we're going to be doing this because of coronavirus and because of the restrictions. Obviously we can't have everybody, but we will do something all together when everything gets sorted out and we can actually spend time as a group again. And or we just want to do something with us. And there's no right or wrong way of going about that. And there's no, we're not saying that you have to disclose everything. I think it's just more telling people. I mean, that's something that I have to work on too. And I know that you and I have had this conversation that we've both had to work on, of just not being afraid to say, Kelsey and I are just doing something tonight together and that's it.
Yeah.
This kind of exclusivity stems from high school situations. This is something that you encounter quite a lot when you're in high school.
Oh, yeah.
People are more selective. You're with people more. The social hierarchy comes into play, social status, social expectations. There is a lot more weight on friendships and relationships in high school because that is such a crucial aspect of your everyday life. Mm. Now that we're out of it, friendships is something fun that we get to enjoy. when you're in high school, that is your job. That is what you do every single day. And if something goes not to plan, and or you're trying to achieve a certain level of social status or achieve certain relationships and solidify those relationships, it's a really difficult environment to navigate, and you can piss a lot of people off if you're not honest.
Yeah.
And your communication isn't clear.
Yeah. I think the secrecy is what really drags me back to high school, because I had a lot of times in high school when I wasn't invited to things and people would lie to me to my face about it, which really sucked. But you know, when you're in high school, you make stupid mistakes. We all do it. As we get older, we don't have to engage in these things anymore if we don't want to.
I've been called out so many times not having been 100% honest with somebody else. I've been called out time and time again for not disclosing everything because I didn't think it was necessary, because something happened really quickly, because I didn't know that that was the right thing to do. I lacked awareness. I lacked an understanding. I lacked compassion, consideration for the other person or the other people. And I think being called out, it's a really important thing to do yourself, but then also to experience, because it makes you really think about situations more, and it does help you grow as a person, and it does make you better, because you're not going to repeat those same mistakes over and over and over again. It's learning. You're never going to be perfect, and it's always something you're going to have to improve on, but it just helps build that awareness within you as an individual to understand that I'm trying my best, but I still have room to do better.
One of my biggest pet hates in life, all my friends know this about me, is I cannot stand it when somebody is angry about something, but they don't say it.
Why do you think we've been friends for 12 years?
Yeah, I know. Like, I just will never understand why people don't talk about things when they're angry. I mean, maybe it's just because I come from a Scottish family and
everything gets discussed.
Everything gets discussed and all yelled about. But yeah, because I just have always thought, if you don't talk about it, then how are you possibly ever going to know that you've done the wrong thing? I have been in so many situations where I've continued to do something wrong for 6 months, continued to make a comment which was offending one of my friends, but no one told me about it. So I kept doing it. And then by the time it was brought up, there was so much emotion and so much heat and weight behind it that like it was so much bigger than what it should have been. And it's because it wasn't spoken about. And just on a side note about this, when this stuff happens in a group of friends that you've been friends with for 10 years, like friends that you've had since high school, there's so much more weight. You know each other so intimately. You know what you were like in high school. That can also be a bit detrimental, because I'm not this person that I was in high school. I fucking hope I'm not the person I was in high school. And I feel like when these things happen with friends that you've known for a long time, it's really easy to hold them to the same standards that they once were.
It's also really hard to let go of like a learned understanding of how someone functions, which I've found like this is kind of this concept, right? Is that you do know somebody so intimately. You've had so many experiences with them. You've gone through thick and thin. You've maybe had falling outs, rebuilt relationships, recultivated like the strength of your relationship. But because of the history does come into play in such an intense way in any present and or future communications that you might have with this person. But I think it's also something that you have to allow room for evolution. You have to allow room for change. And if you're constantly interacting with somebody based on your history, not based on who they're proving to be at that present point, it can be really difficult to maintain a fulfilling and healthy relationship.
Sometimes when relationships aren't serving you, then it's time to let them go. I mean, it can be fucking hard. I mean, it's really hard. I mean, I'm like the queen of holding on to things when they're not serving me anymore, just because I put a lot of my self-worth into those relationships or those friends or those people, quite literally, even things, even objects sometimes, you know? But yeah, I think the coronavirus restrictions made these things really clear.
It hit somewhere.
Bella, you mentioned like social exclusion before. So I did a bit of digging, being the journalist I am.
Absolutely, you did.
And I found a really
It was actually a research paper. It was about social exclusion and physical pain. And turns out that people that were socially excluded experienced emotional numbness and also had higher pain thresholds. So
this just is a classic example of how your emotional well-being can translate into your physical well-being.
Yeah.
Which we all scientifically know to be true, and there's been so many studies on it, but
yeah,
how it can actually affect an individual. Yeah.
Like, listen to this. I found this really interesting. So this is a quote, and it says, "There is reason to believe that the pain of social exclusion shares many of the same neural and physiological mechanisms as experiences of physical pain." So that feeling of social exclusion, it actually is, it's real pain. Yeah. And I think as an adult, like, experiencing that again, it just... One, it's just like we said, draws you back to high school. And two, like, I don't want to feel that way at this age. Like, obviously, it's going to happen throughout our whole lives, but you kind of expect it less from your friends.
At this age, you expect it less from your friends. I definitely think that to be true. And I definitely think, like, within that context of, you know, your emotional well-being manifesting into your physical well-being, it validates why you feel so hurt and so why it causes you such emotional pain.
You know, endorphins are a part of our pain and pleasure circulatory. They're the body's natural painkillers, but they also give us feelings of pleasure. And studies suggest that endorphins promote social bonding in humans and other animals, giving us that feel good factor when we see our friends. So in a way, we're kind of addicted to our friends. Like, they give us physiologically and emotionally give us love and a connectedness without the weight and fragility of love and sex
and
like
intimacy.
That. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, they're security and their stimulation. They give us a sense of community and a sense of belonging, but they also bring us so much joy. I mean, I've had this conversation with people and we've kind of come to the conclusion that a friendship is probably the most pure and joyful, special relationship that you will ever have, purely because it doesn't have high stakes in regards to life. In regards to, you know, with a partner, you have a mortgage and kids. With a family, there are those familial connections. There are those ties that are really difficult to break. With a friend, you just get to enjoy each other's company. Yeah. You get to have fun with one another. You get to learn and grow with one another. You get to love one another. Yeah.
They're so important, but they're so easily neglected.
I know.
And it's because they are, if you look at like on the hierarchy of relationships, you know, you have your family, you know, your partner, maybe your dog, and then maybe your friends after that. Maybe, you know, I don't know what else comes after that. But usually they fall to the bottom of the hierarchy, and that can also be really dangerous. Kate Lever, she wrote, "Friendship is like water. We need it to survive. We crave it when it's scarce. It runs through our veins, and yet we forget its value simply because it's always available." And I think that's really true. I mean, I know you and I have gone through a lot of things in our lives where we neglect our friendship, our own friendship. It's sad looking back and knowing that you've hurt a friend. And I think as we come to this age where we hold on to the ones that mean the most, and sometimes I feel like we clutch at relationships that they maybe don't serve us anymore. Mm. And I think it also ties to our self-worth. We tie a lot of our friendships to our self-worth. And so letting go of friendships, even though they might not be serving you, is really hard. And I think as we get older, we probably get better at deciphering who's a good friend and who's a bad friend and who's a toxic friend.
Well, this is something that we talk about all the time, is that you can't break up with a friend. There's no solid end to a friendship. There is no, like, I don't want to be with you anymore, therefore I'm going
see you
to
later.
Leave this situation. It is so much more complex than that, which then reflects on the intensity and the importance of a friendship as a relationship too. Yeah. Like, if it's complex to end, it's a complex relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, as young women, it is, and young men and anybody, but specifically for us from our point of view, it is really difficult to know when to take a step back, to know when to let go, even if it's just temporarily. If something's not serving you or not fulfilling you, or you're feeling like you can't be the best friend for that person at the time, it is a really difficult situation to navigate because, you know, you don't want to let anybody down. You don't want to do wrong by anybody. But then at the same time, is staying in that relationship letting that person down and doing wrong by that person? And it's really difficult to know when to just take a moment and to recognize that it might not be the place that you should be putting your energy and time into.
Also with social media, I feel like friendships become so much more complex. There's this whole other layer of meaning that we have to decipher. Sometimes things happen on Instagram and we read so much into them. Just bringing this back to pop culture, I've read this really interesting article in The Guardian back in 2018. This was posted, but it was talking about performative friendships and how to spot, you know, how to spot a performative friend. And one of the examples they used was Taylor Swift baking a cake for Selena Gomez on, they live, you know, thousands of kilometers apart, but T-Swizzle baked Selena Gomez a cake and posted on Instagram and said, happy birthday, love you, or whatever it was. This was used as an example of a performative friendship. And the definition given was, it's when someone tries to celebrate a friendship, usually online, but ends up making it all about them. And
performative friendship is definitely something that we deal with quite often and we see quite often, but through the rise of social media has now become blaringly obvious but and also, an issue that we deal with.
Yeah, obvious, I agree. But also I think highly/over-scrutinized because, first of all, Taylor Swift and Selena Gomez, like, they have had one of the best documented like girl power friendships ever. Like, it is very well known that Taylor Swift and Selena Gomez have had each other's back for the past 13 years. Like, think back to the Kanye West feud. Selena Gomez copped so much hate from, I think she released some tweets about it supporting Taylor Swift. And now, again, recently with Scooter Braun, like, Selena Gomez has been very, very out and open with her backing of Taylor Swift. And they've always been like that. Labeling performative friendships as, you know, when someone tries to celebrate a friendship but makes it all about them. I had some issues with this only because when my friends do something fantastic or it's their birthday or it's something like that, I am going to celebrate the fuck out of them and I'm going to have their faces plastered across my social medias, even though, you know, have a very lackluster following. It doesn't matter. Like,
you're still showing support. Yeah,
these are my humans. They are fucking wonderful. Look at their faces and appreciate them. Like, and yeah, if I'm involved in that, if it's me talking to the camera, I mean, I've never done this because I have an issue with seeing my face on camera. But if it was me talking to the camera saying, happy birthday to Bella, I love you. Why do you have such an appetite for like defining our actions? I feel like it's just another set of guidelines that women have to live by. Like, oh no, don't do that because that means you're a performative friend. Like,
it's another category that we're, you know, allocating our communications into.
Like, can I not celebrate my friends online without being called a performative friend?
However, we call our friends, we FaceTime our friends, we message our friends, we FaceTime our friends. It's our face on the video saying happy birthday. If that then gets translated across a social media platform, why does that automatically make it any different? Mm. I think that we post photos of the two of us together on our birthday. Or if I were to post something about you to celebrate you in some way, I would probably put a photo of both of us because I'm showing my appreciation for you.
Yeah.
And I just think that, like, when does that where does that appreciation end and the judgment start? Like, why?
To be fair, like, on the flip side of this, I know what it's like to see someone adore somebody else online and knowing very well that these two people do not like each other. Like, they would rather give their left tit than have to see the other person. Like,
or spend time with that person.
Like, I get that side of this coin too. And especially, like, it has irritated me in the past that when somebody says, you know, they post a photo of themselves, but it's like, happy birthday, Bella, but it's you nowhere in the picture. So that also annoys me too. But I have to ask myself, why am I annoyed by this? And the thing is, right now, I don't really have an answer, because as much as I think we have to stop placing ourselves in these neatly defined boxes of what a friend is, I think it's really up to the individual. Like some girls just love to post shit online. Some people love to post photos of themselves online, and maybe that is their way of, you know, expressing their love. I think the way that we communicate has evolved, and I think we need to stop placing so much pressure on how we do that. It just seems like there's a little tolerance for how people communicate on Instagram. Like, I participate in it.
I think that it's as well. I mean, authenticity is really difficult to
nail down.
It is, and it's also really difficult to perceive correctly through social media platforms. And I think that that's kind of the underlying issue of communications across social media, is when is it authentic and when is it not? And the only person that really knows that is the person that's creating the content in the first place and or sharing the content in the first place. And so I think a lot of it is audience interpretation, and we as an audience might not know their reasoning behind the post, their reasoning behind the comment, and it is really hard to navigate. And I think you just do whatever you feel comfortable with, and as long as you're acting authentically and you're doing things that make you happy and make your friends happy and don't harm anybody,
then fucking go for it.
Then go for it. If you want to post a million photos of you and your best friend, like 400 million photos on your Instagram story for their birthday, you just go right ahead and you do it.
Yeah, you do that.
Because we're here to support your Instagram posts. Yeah. No, but I definitely think it's something that we need to, I think it's more like reflecting on ourselves. Like, why do we judge that? Why are we having these thoughts? Why do I see somebody post 400 photos of their friend and go, it's a bit much.
Yeah.
I don't really know why they would be doing that. I mean, it's not really something that I really want to see. It doesn't have to be something that I want to see. It's something that they want to share.
Yeah.
And if they're doing that because they care and because they love that person, or they're doing that because it's fun and they're engaged with it, cool.
Yeah.
You go right ahead and I'll just skip past.
Yeah.
It's like, if I don't like it, that's on me consuming it, not on you creating it.
Yeah. See, I 100% agree. And this is a lesson that I'm still learning as well. Like,
Both of us are still learning.
I participate in these activities often, but I am getting better at checking myself and saying, well, hold on a second. Why is your first reaction to make assumptions about this person? Because I know if I baked a cake for you on your birthday and posted a photo of it
when I lived in Melbourne, I would have loved that.
Yeah, and then people made assumptions about me based on this, you know, this concept of performative friends.
I mean, I would have been bummed that I couldn't have the cake.
That would be totally unreasonable. Yeah. But it's because, people don't know each other's circumstances, so let's not get our knickers in a twist.
And that might be something that Kelsey and I do. We bake cakes for each other on our birthday, and then I'm halfway across the country and I can't eat the cake she baked me. She's still going to do it though. Yeah. And that shows how strong our relationship is and how much she cares about me still, even though I can't physically be there. So you just never know the circumstances, and there's no need to project your judgment on a situation.
And I think, and this is the thing, when it happens on social media, you see it and you make a snap judgment. And
it's really easy to as well.
Yeah. And sometimes sometimes it's silent. You make that, you go on with your life, you don't think about it again. But I think it becomes harmful when we make these judgments or these assumptions, these judgments, whatever you want to call them. And we go to our friends and then we start gossiping about it, or then we project what our interpretation of this situation is. We translate that onto our friends, and then maybe they regurgitate some of the stuff that we've said, and then it's this vicious cycle. And I think as women, we need to be really active in dismantling those type of behaviors and conversations. Instagram has made its millions of being performative. That is what Instagram is. We all participate in it,
but let's participate in it in a positive way.
Yeah, like,
and let's build each other up and not tear each other down.
Yeah. Let girl fucking power. Like,
girl power. Absolutely.
Yeah. What's that? I swear it was like a Raid ad where they were like, stop the spread at the source. You know? Wait.
That sounds like coronavirus.
Oh my God. It was a coronavirus thing. Yeah. Stop the spread at the Okay.
We are. Hallelujah. This is for bad vibes too, guys. Stop the spread at the source. If you're having the bad vibe, check it, understand it, and don't spread it.
Don't spread it. Check that vibe.
We got it.
Well, that was it from us today. We hope you've enjoyed our little discussion/rant.
We're super excited that we get to have a space to share, you know, these issues and topics with you guys, and we just want to talk about them. And we'd love any feedback if you want to give it to us. We're really happy for some constructive criticism, emphasis on the word constructive.
Yes.
And if there's anything that comes up that you would like us to discuss or think might be interesting, feel free to let us know. We're always here. We want that open two-way communication to occur, not just between Kelsey and I, but between anyone who's listening to this as well.
We do have some fun episodes coming in the future.
There are so many other things to come, and we're just so excited to get started and bring it to you all.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We'll
talk to you soon.
TTYL.
Bye, Kels.
Bye.
Bye.